The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Ready. It's time for your weekly dose of Wayne's Comics.
Welcome to episode 139 of the Wayne's Comics Podcast. I'm so glad you're listening. This week I've got a fun interview with Alex Lobato, one of the creators of Max Hunter Snowfall Part 1, the first offering from Darkside Global. We talk about how the character came to be and how the company got started and how they developed their logo, and you'll learn a few things about the story that starts in this book and what might happen in the future. There's a lot to get to, so let's get on with the show.
Dirtbags crowd our streets. My job, round these folks up, collect their bounties.
I want to welcome to the podcast Alex Lobato, one of the creators of Max Hunter Snowfall Part 1, which I had the privilege of buying at the Florida Supercon, and also had a chance to review it for a website. So it's a pretty good book. How are you doing today, Alex?
Oh, hey, Wayne. I'm doing great. Thanks for having me here.
That's good to talk with you. Why don't we go ahead and dive right into the character and talk a little bit about the comic, and then we'll talk a little bit how it came to be. Talk a little bit about Max Hunter, like who he is, and what kind of things would make people who like to read comics interested in him.
Well, Max Hunter is a character actually I created in a role-playing game through friends of ours. We played Shadowrun for a while, and it was a character I created, basically a bounty hunter, who is like a Punisher, kind of, like a Marvel Punisher, where he won't take crap, but there's a human side to him, too. You know, he's vulnerable in many different aspects as well. I'm going to reveal some stuff for part two. Spoiler alert. He was a regular accountant, you know, with a regular job, and then something happens, and you'll see that when part two is released. They got him into the place where he is now, and that's helping people and helping them through these bounties.
Well, what's interesting, because if you go to your website, some of that is revealed on there. It says it's Max Hunter is the name he goes by, but he was originally called Larry Kowalski.
Yes, Larry Kowalski. And we have a little bit of his past in the first comic book where you see him as a kid. You see the tragedy that happens to him, that befalls on him. And so you get a little taste as to, you know, where his history comes from.
It says on here, Larry received a package that would change his life as he knew it.
Yeah.
Is that what we're going to find out in book two?
Yes. Book two is going to reveal a little more. It will definitely reveal what package he received and why it led him to become who he is now, how he got his cybernetic parts, his cyber arms, and why he took the path that he took is going to be revealed with book two and book three.
Because according to this, he's a tall guy, 6'6" and 310 pounds. You don't want to mess with him in a dark alley.
No, you don't. He's always been just too big for the world, right? And that's something that I'm going to relay a little more in part two as well, where he's grabbing his bottle of water and it's this big jug, you know, and he's always he's typing on a typewriter in part two, and his fingers are just too big for the keys, and his suit's just too small for him. He's just a big guy in a small world in his eyes.
Isn't that funny? Yeah. Now, currently he's got black eyes and black hair.
Right.
How does he get black eyes?
Well, I get dark eyes, I guess. The website did put, you know, dark eyes, dark. May have to change that black to dark.
Yeah, that'd be good, because wondering how in the world somebody gets black eyes unless they got like contact lenses in or something like that.
Well, he does have contacts, but that will be revealed later as well. It helps him, it helps Keys, his assistant, see through his eyes.
Now, according to the Kickstarter program you had up, this all takes place in Gateway City in the year 2077. Why did you choose that place and that year?
Well, when we started the comic book company, Darkside Global, Max Hunter is the first of many different comic books that's going to be released within that city. The city is very important in and itself. It's a character. So there's a lot of background and a lot of history that's going to go into that city. We wanted it to take place in the future so we could, I guess, kind of write history for ourselves. We wanted to create a world that was here, you know, the United States, and it was Earth, this universe, but at the same time have our touch to it. So we wanted to go into the future just to develop our own taste of the world. And a lot of things do happen. California is a little separated from the United States due to a massive earthquake that happened that will be revealed in later comics. Japan wiped out completely from a tsunami from that earthquake. So there's a lot of things that are going to happen, you know, and the United States itself went in through a second civil war that led to the separation of Texas. So Texas doesn't consider themselves a state in the United States other the Republic of Texas. So there's a lot of cool little interesting things that will be revealed through other comic books and Max Hunter as well as time goes.
Mm-hmm. Well, I get a huge kick because he's called Max Hunter and he's also a bounty hunter.
Yeah.
So as a bounty hunter, did he take that last name from his profession, or are you going to reveal that?
Yeah, that's going to be revealed. His last name comes from his adopted father, who is, spoiler alert, the sheriff from the that takes him in, the sheriff that investigates his parents' murder.
Okay, so that sounds good. So Gateway City, then, you said, that's located in Texas?
Just outside of Texas,
okay.
To the north of it. What happens there is that there's a person in charge of Gateway City that built Gateway City from the ground up. His name is Jeremiah Krupp. He will be introduced a little bit in Max Hunter 2. Mm-hmm. He is a very, very interesting character that we're developing in Darkside Global, and he will be a huge character, but he's basically the owner of Gateway City. He made a deal with the United States. He helped the United States in a way that you'll find out in future comics, and he was able to acquire a city for himself, and he built it from the ground up. And there's also a little space elevator that we're showing later on as well, that he's building something in space, and he has that in the middle center of the city, downtown area. So he's a character that's going to be a very interesting character to meet and develop.
Mm-hmm. Well, it sounds pretty interesting. I like it when people have not only the character developed, but the whole scenario put together the way that you have. That makes it much more interesting. And that means that there are story ideas that you probably already come up with, as you were mentioning, having in other books. So I always like that when people think ahead with things like that, like you've done. So congrats on that.
Thank you. Yeah, we have actually a couple of scripts written for a couple of different characters. One character is named Top Hat, who's a mercenary for the Vatican. Another character is Geist, who you see at the end of Max Hunter 1, giving something to Keys, Max's assistant. Nothing revealed of her yet, but she also is another character within the Gateway City. So we got a lot of fun stuff coming out, hopefully, you know, as soon as we can.
Mm-hmm. Now, this is called Snowfall Part 1, and there's, of course, a double meaning to that. You know, of course, there's the snowfall that we're used to dealing with in the world, but there's also an assassin who's involved, and his last name is Snow. Do you want to talk a little bit about him?
Sure, yeah. Vincent Snow is an assassin, and we get to see a little bit of his history in Part 2, which we're going to be kickstarting towards October. In that, we're going to reveal some photos, and I think you could actually see them on our website already. I believe we've uploaded them, where you see a little kid, new pictures revealed, and that's actually Snow. So we see a little bit of his history. He's an assassin for hire, and he takes jobs, and the concept behind him is that he always gets his man. He has a 95% kill rate. He never misses his target, and if he does, he's relentless, and he continues to go after it until he finishes the job. And yeah, the title is meant for innuendo of what will happen to Snow, or what can happen to Snow, once the three-part series is concluded.
Mm-hmm. Okay, cool. Now, one of the things that happens in the story, and I don't want us in any way spoil the last page and when something big is revealed, but as we go back in time and kind of see what happened to Larry as he was a child, and of course he goes into a comic shop, which I really loved. I thought that was great.
That's from my a personal history of mine, like my own. I remember as a kid, my father took me into a pharmacy, and I picked up my first comic book, and the smile on my face opening that comic book, that I wanted it to relate in this comic. And Pierre Dedalus, our artist, did a great job at that. We love that picture of Max looking up with the comic, super happy, you know?
That's really great. And of course, when some people are really happy in comics, can distress be far behind. And that's what happens in here. I don't want to give away things. So he's got a lot to experience, and we begin to see the evolution of him turning into Max Hunter in there. Now, one of the things I really enjoyed, too, was that you have a priest involved, and he's got a little bit of an interesting background. Why don't you mention about what his story is?
Well, Solomon Boone is the hunt, the bounty that Max Hunter is going after, and the hit that Snow is assigned to assassinate. So that's where Snow and Max, he's the reason Snow and Max Hunter meet in the first place, and they have the interaction that they have. Solomon Boone used to be a criminal, and he had a gambling problem. And because of the gambling problem, he started to lay low. And so he started to pretend to be a priest and give sermons at a church, and you know, he got in. And so in the comic book, one of his things is that he collects weapons from people on the streets, because this takes place in the lower areas of Gateway City. It's called the Rails. This is like the slums, you know, and this priest is cleaning up the streets by collecting these guns, but in truth he's collecting the guns for his own purposes. He seems reformed in everybody's eyes, but he's truly not, and we see that as the comic progresses, and you know, he's fending for his life.
I like one of the things about this a lot is the art and the way that it's done. Mr. Dedalus did a great job on this. One of the staples in comics is to have that white border around the outer side. Instead, you guys use a black border, which I like. And it gives a sense, and it's nice glossy paper and nicely colored and stuff too. It gives a real strong sense of professional comic book, and these days it's nice to have that, because not everybody puts out a professional comic, and I really thought that Max Hunter is very professional, so I wanted to let you know that.
Thank you, man. That's mostly in part Pierre Dedalus and also our friends at Print Ninja. They printed the comic book in great paper. They helped us through every step of the way, and they made it look really nice. Pierre Dedalus, from day one, he told us, look, I'm a professional, and it's honestly the first artist I've encountered that was able to take my script and do exactly that on paper, and really easy to work with. And he's just a great guy. He's a really, really cool guy. Mm-hmm. You could actually follow him on Facebook if you guys would like. His Pierre Dedalus. Awesome artwork. Awesome. Good.
And okay. His last name is spelled?
Dedelis. So Dedelis.
I want to make sure we get in that in there. Now, one of the things I have to talk about, one of the things your comic does, and it does a little differently, is our word balloons. You do that very differently. When certain people are talking, it's white with black text on it. When Max is talking or thinking, it's gray with white text on it.
Right. We wanted to make it as easy as possible for the readers. So easy to follow, easy to know who's talking, who's speaking. I'm a huge comic book reader. I love reading comic books. And one of my complaints on some of the comic books that I read is, man, the text is too small. I'm confused who's speaking right now and what word bubble. And sometimes I get lost in that, and it kind of ruins the moment for me when I'm reading a comic. So Mo Dominguez is our letterer, and I talked to him, and we talked about it, and we made sure, and he did a great job lettering the comic book and making sure that it's easy for the reader.
Because it's funny, when Keys, whose computer and stuff tends to be green, her word balloons tend to be green with black text on it.
Yeah.
And there's even a purple word balloon with text on it, or with white text on it. So I found that kind of interesting, because that's unique in comics. So you're right, it does help us know exactly who's saying what to who.
Thank you.
Now, one of the things, of course, I have to fuss with you about, and I mentioned this when I wrote my review, which, because I really love the book, but there's one thing as a proofreader that drives me to distraction, is when commas go nuts.
I know.
And I'm not volunteering to...
yes.
to proofread in the future, but like for example, there's one sentence that goes, he's gone Max. And I wondered, based on the way it was it he's gone, comma, Max, or is it he's gone, Max? Is that some kind of a process? So that's the one thing I would recommend that you do for the next time, for issue number two, is kind of get those commas in the right places a little bit, so it's a little easier to get, especially since you put all this work into getting the word balloons and everything put together. Get those commas in there, and it'll help us readers a little bit better. So that's my really the only criticism of the book that I have.
Yeah, we picked up an editor along the way as well. His name's we have two editors now, John Roche and Raul Ruiz, and they're double timing on that, making sure that we got all the commas in the right place, because that's the one thing that John Roche told me. He's like, yo, you got to fix your comma issue, and it is an issue that I'm working on, thankfully there for issue two we shouldn't have too many of those, hopefully, unless one slips under the cracks. But they're working really hard and diligently to get, you know, all those editing fixes in there.
Great. Well, I'm glad to hear that. It's good that you were aware of that and you found some folks to help you out with that, because that's important, especially with readability issues. You know, it's great for the story to go along, but the art is gorgeous, and to have the words were great. Just that little punctuation issue it'll help people in the future, I think, really understand it.
Yeah,
so
definitely.
I wanted to talk a little bit about the fact that you had a Kickstarter program. That, because it seems these days, two of the last couple months here on the podcast, I've been talking to people who have Kickstarter programs going on. One was for one called Torso Bear, and another one is called Under the Flesh. And it's interesting to me, and I was just wondering if you, especially now that you've completed the process, what's your opinion? What would you tell people who have like content like what you do that you believe in, that you want to get out? What would you tell people about the Kickstarter process that you think that they should know?
You know, Kickstarter is wonderful. When I first learned about it, I'm like, wow, this is a win-win. This is an amazing program that these guys started up. And it's not easy. I will tell you that. It's not easy. And there's a lot of things that I could have done better. And going into our new Kickstarter project, we will be doing better. Honestly, I would love to set up, and I'll tell you a little bit, but I would love to set up a podcast with you if possible, with Marcelo Bravo of Jungle Girl, that he's given me a lot of tips on Kickstarter, and he was also successfully funded. And Think I Like Productions as well want to go into Kickstarter too. We would love to do maybe a podcast on just talking about Kickstarter, how to help people get started on that, because I think every single independent comic book needs that Kickstarter help, because it's just too hard without it. To financially fund a comic book, it's in the thousands. And that's just one issue. And to continue it, so you could tell a completed story, you know, it takes a lot of funding. And Kickstarter is a win-win. It's a home base for your comic book for a whole month. A home base for people to go look at the comic book, people to follow what updates you have, people to fund. It's like a place where you could pre-order the comic book prior to you having your own website or you going on Comixology and such. It's a home base for you for a whole month, and people love that. People love to go in there. I've gone to several projects and funded several projects just to have a chance to have the first issue, you know, of an independent comic book, and to support others in their cause. But Kickstarter is great. My recommendation is as follows. Be prepared to work hard during that month, calling, texting, emailing, finding marketing, getting people to go to that home base of yours in Kickstarter and funding your project. And also, build a fan base before you even start the Kickstarter. So get people to like what you're doing before you even put it up to Kickstarter. But I will tell people that a lot of people are discouraged by Kickstarter. Like maybe they don't get their project funded and get a little sad and discouraged. I will tell those people, you know, don't be discouraged, because like I said, it's a win-win. You may have failed, but you got your product out there. People got to see it. People know about it. So try again in a couple of months, you know? That's the advice I would give others for Kickstarter.
Well, you guys had fun with your Kickstarter, because as I'm looking to on the website, you used sort of a town, a country town kind of a setup. The $1 people were townsfolk. Then you had $5 people were cowboys. Then you had $10 were gunslingers. And above that, you had outlaws, marshals, and bounty hunters, and then you had at the top of the barrel, you had a tycoon.
Yeah, that was definitely a fun thing. The bunch of us, Juan Chao, Mon Dominguez, John Adams, Francisco Garcia, and myself, got together and we're like, let's come up with names for this Kickstarter. And we came up with that idea of making it like a Western theme, and it was a lot of fun. For the next one, we're going to have a similar but different theme as well to get people, you know, pumped up and going. I was surprised of how few outlaws we ended up getting. I was thinking we'd get more outlaws, but we did get a couple.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's good. Now, issue one, if somebody wants to get a hold of Max Hunter Snowfall Part 1, how do they get a hold of issue one right now?
Our website, online store, had some bugs, so we haven't really been promoting it too well, but we just fixed those bugs, and it's live and ready to go. So if you visit www.darksideglobal.com. That's www.darksideglobal.com. You can go on there, go to our store, and purchase a comic book there, or visit any convention. We try to hit up all the conventions in South Florida, and as we progress, we'll hopefully be hitting up all the conventions in Florida in its entirety, maybe even New York one day, hopefully, God willing, San Diego. So go to the conventions, but online is the best way to purchase the comic book right now.
Okay. It's not out on Comixology is what you're saying.
Well, not yet, but it will be soon. We had to make a couple of changes to our cover. We had to make a couple of changes, and then we're resubmitting it, and it should be on within the next 2 months.
Okay, well, that's good to see. Now, you were at Florida SuperCon. Then I saw you were at another con recently. What was the other convention you went to?
We just came back from UltraCon, which was a convention in the Bauer Center. And it was a lot of fun, actually. We had a good time there. Irving Santiago throws that con. Really good guy. Really good con.
Now, you're going to be at Tampa?
We're really hoping that we can make it to Tampa Bay Comic Con. We're trying to make it to Tampa Bay Comic Con, but there's a couple of complications. We will be at MegaCon. We will be at another one called Shock Pop, which is in February. And we will also be at Creator Owned Expo, which is August 9th, I believe.
Okay. Wow. Well, yeah. So your weekends are not your own, basically, at this point.
Actually, it's funny you say that. It really isn't, because every other weekend, almost every weekend at this point, we're at Cine Bistro at Dolphin Mall promoting our comic book there. Anytime they show a superhero movie or a sci-fi movie or even an action, we're going to be there for Hercules. Every weekend we're there selling our comic book and getting the word out. There's a lot of artists that go there, too. It's like a couple of tables with artists. It's the BTL collectible show, and Orlando hosts it. And there's a couple of artists there that you know, you could go for commission, and they have tables and really good artists, great artists. And then we're set up there as well. It's in Cine Bistro in Dolphin Mall, if you're in the area, you know, where Dolphin Mall is.
Are these paper copies available in any of the stores in the Miami area or in Tampa or Orlando? Or basically you have to go through the website?
Yeah, they're available in four different stores right now. You could go, but in the Miami area and in Broward. You could go to Tate's in Broward. They have our comic book there. Tate's is, like, I tell people, the Disney of comic book stores. We're located also in Avalon, which is in the Homestead area of Miami, in Docking Bay Comics, which is also up north in the Broward area. And there was a fourth one that we're getting in. It slips my mind right now. Hopefully we'll be in A&M and Max soon enough as well, which is in Miami.
That'll be good. If you get to Comixology, too. There was a website that I was looking at today in preparation for this, and I saw your book out there. Comics Mix?
Oh, yes. We're in Comic Fix.
Comic Fix. That's what it is.
Okay. So that's really cool, actually. The people of Comic Fix is a subscription-based downloadable comic. I guess Marvel's doing it now, too, I heard, where you pay like a monthly fee, and then you could just stream unlimited comics and read them. They're doing it in the independent, like if you want to read independent comic books, they're the place to go. And we're there. Max Hunter is actually there right now.
I saw it there, and I saw some other ones like Quarantined, which I had read a couple years back. The Dark, which is from the UK. A bunch of other books that I had read that you just can't find in the US in many places. And it's nice to have a place like that that makes your product available. So how long have you been up on that site?
Since a little shortly after our Kickstarter. That's how they found us, through our Kickstarter. And they're very diligent. They helped us out. You know, they told us exactly what we needed to do. We did it, and there was no going back on that. Like, the one thing we had with Comixology, we submitted it. We read the instructions, read the rules, but then they send it back to us saying, oh, you need to make these changes that weren't in the initial submitting process rules. So it was a little difficult, but Comic Fix, they did it all perfectly for us, and it's a really cool place.
Well, some interesting stuff. If you're like me and you like variety and you like to read something a little outside the Marvel DC radius, even the top five, you've got books out there that people like you have gotten together and made quality product, but it's just somehow Image or IDW, these people just don't pick you up. And now with Kickstarter and things like that, we get the chance to read your product and to follow you. So I think that's just a great thing.
And the other thing about Kickstarter is that it's worldly, right? I mean, I've gotten a lot of fans from the UK reading the comic book, and I'm like, man, that's awesome. You know, we're all the way, our artist is actually Polish. So, you know, it's cool to see that we're integrated and we have Europe there, a couple of fans there reading our comic book and liking it and stuff. So Kickstarter is cool, man. It's a really cool thing.
Yeah, and the one thing that I wanted to ask you about, though, because I recently came back to Florida. I used to live in Florida and then was up north for a while and recently came back, is that I'm impressed by how many comic book creators there are down here, particularly in Miami up to the Orlando area. You were talking about Think Alike Products. That's the agency who I interviewed recently as well. And other people creating stuff like Under the Flesh. All you guys are from the southern to mid-Florida area. What is it about this time and this area that's making you guys jump out and start making your own comics?
Well, I think a lot of it is the comic book industry in itself has gotten a big hype, and it's really boosting up. It went on a huge downfall in the 90s, and then, you know, thanks to CG and movies and all this, people are getting interested again in comic books. So it's opening up venues for the independent world to come out too. But the cool thing about the Miami companies is that we're kind of coming together. You know, we're doing things together. We're helping each other out. Think Alike Productions, Maelstrom Comics, which that's Marcelo, does Jungle Girl. They're all helping out. We're doing a panel together at Creator Owned Expo. So if you do go by on that Saturday, on August 9th, I believe, you could come visit us, check out the panel. We'll be talking about Creature Entertainment, another big independent comic book company based here in Miami. And they're really cool guys. They help us out too. So there's a lot of different comic book companies here in Miami that are just nice people that we're all wanting the same thing, to take our ideas and see if others enjoy it. And if others can read it and have fun with it, then we've done our job.
Mm-hmm. Well, not only that, this is the era of do-it-yourself. Yeah, this podcast got started because radio programs were, you know, were the kind of thing that you could only do in radio studios. And then all of a sudden, Adobe Audition and other software packages came, like Audacity came along, and we could make our own thing and call people on Skype like we're doing right now. And we could make our own little radio programs, and they became known as podcasts. And so there are so many stories that I wonder how many we missed that were really good because people weren't able to get into DC or Marvel or Image or IDW. You know, these great things that we could have really loved, they just didn't happen because there was no way for them to make them like you guys have now.
Yeah, man, doors are opening up now, and this new era, this new generation, and it's really helping out these people create their ideas and bring them to life. It's really a great time.
Mm-hmm. Now, I do have to ask you, this puzzles me. I'm one of those people who likes to know why things are the way they are. Your company is called Dark Side Global, and you have like an angel with black wings, which kind of looks like, if you ever work on sci-fi, they have a program called Dominion, and their angels all have black wings. Okay. You know, how did you guys get named that way, and how did you guys settle on a logo with an angel with black wings?
First of all, Dominion, awesome show. Recommend it for everybody. Really good show. Movie Legion, not so much. But anyways, it was actually us getting together for the first time. It was another fellow artist that's in local base Miami, Carlos Hernandez, got us together. And we all came up with an idea, with stories, with the city. And we came up with the idea of putting this company together. And one of the names that Carlos had suggested was Dark Side. And then we're tossing out names, and then one person suggested Global, and Francisco Garcia suggests Global. Now, Francisco J. Garcia is our artist, our in-house artist. He's an amazing, amazing artist, and you'll see some of his work coming out. If you visit us at the cons, you see a bunch of his prints out there. They're beautiful prints. He's done renditions of posters like Transformers and Maleficent, and you can see his artwork at our website, too. He is an awesome artist. He came out with this idea of doing this dark side based off the name. He came out with this idea of doing this angel with these black wings, and we loved it. We fell in love with it. His idea was that, you know, this is an angel, a human, but he's got, these human features, but he's got the dark wings representing the dark side of this majestic angel that we've always seen in the light. Angels are always very light, and they're holy and nice. But here we see dark wings on this angel, hence the dark side of things.
Now, before we started recording, you mentioned you guys were up to something that I really wanted people to be able to hear about. And it has to do with kids and comics. Why don't you go ahead and explain to people what you guys are doing regarding putting comics into kids' hands?
Cool. We started a foundation called the Hopeful Heroes. This started because a good friend of mine, a dear friend of mine, Javi Valdez, his nephew, OJ, was recently diagnosed with cancer. He's a fellow comic book fan. He's a young kid that just loves the old comics. You see him with the Spawn and with Venom comics, and he loves all the old stuff. he was put into the hospital, recently discovered that he was sick. He was there for weeks, running tests and all. And all they had there for him were video games to play, which were very stressful. He didn't want to play them. So I would come in and I would be his comic supplier. Here, comic books to read, have comics to read. And he thanked me for that. He was very grateful. He loved it. It helped him pass the time. So I thought, man, you know what? We should do this for other kids too. You know, there's not many places that have comic books, period, in Miami, and let alone hospitals don't have a library of comic books, manga, art pieces for these kids to enjoy, to read while they're time in the hospital. There's no reason for them to be bored while they're there, you know? So what the Hopeful Heroes Foundation is, it's a not-for-profit that we're trying to collect comic books, manga, art pieces for the, to build libraries in hospitals for kids to read. Another thing that we want to do is take the cosplay, which is huge now. The cosplay has become really huge these past couple of years. And we want to get cosplayers to dress up as the kids' favorite superheroes. So we could go to the hospitals, take pictures with them, have them read the comic to the kids, have them read the manga to the kids. So if you know of anybody or if anybody out there knows of comic books that are kid-friendly, manga that's kid-friendly, or art pieces that you want to draw up for these kids, we would, you know, accept all donations. And you could go to the website, which is www.hopefulheroes.org. And if you can't supply comic books, manga, you could always give a little donation. We have a donation button, and that money is used to collect these comic books and manga and art pieces to give to the kids.
Now, how do you find the kids in order to give them to them?
Oh, the kids in the hospitals. So what we want to do is build the libraries within the hospitals themselves so that they have a supply that they can read. And we would visit the hospitals and we would give the comic books and the manga and the art pieces to the individual kids while they're in there. We also have on our website, if you take a look at it, the Hopeful Heroes, we're about 2 weeks old, so we're just starting off. But we want to tell the stories of these kids once they do receive the comics and tell us what their story is and try to help them out, you know, and try to make their process or what they're going through as easy as possible. The good thing about the OJ story is that he's recovered now, and the cancer has died down a lot, and now he could go back to doing the things that he was doing before, and he's spending a lot less time in the hospital. So he's definitely improving. So we want to tell those stories on our website, and we want the other people that visit our website to remember and know those kids and help them out whichever way they can.
Mm-hmm. Well, it sounds like a great project, and I really encourage people to get in and support it, because not only does it help them as they're going through, it'll also hopefully help comics survive, because, you know, kids nowadays are a lot of video gamers, and to get kids reading at an early age would be something really great. And I just think that giving them the kid-friendly comics would get them started and hopefully develop a habit that they might keep doing for their whole lives.
That's what I'm praying for. I'm hoping that every kid turns out to be like that picture of Max Hunter reading that comic book looking up at us, you know, and that everybody has that experience of holding a comic book in their hand and helping them read it.
Mm-hmm. Well, it sounds like a great thing. Now, are there other projects? You mentioned there were other books that might be coming out of Dark Side Global, and you mentioned a couple of things. Is there any more information about that you can give out right now, or is that something we have to wait a little while before you can announce?
Well, right now, Max Hunter 2 is our next project. It's already halfway done. We're going to kickstart it at the end of October. Two other characters that have the script written, we're just looking to find the right artist for those scripts, are Geist and Top Hat. Other than that, like those two characters, I can tell you a little bit about them, but they're not going to be revealed until much later, until we find the artists and we can move forward with that.
Okay. Now, what about outside of Dark Side Global? Do you have any projects that you're working on besides that that we should be aware of?
No, not really. I just Hopeful Heroes Foundation, and I'm 100% in Dark Side Global right now, working hard for it.
Well, it's great. I really enjoyed Max Hunter Snowfall Part 1, and I was glad I got to write a positive review of it. And I'm looking forward to doing more with you guys in the future, and hopefully getting to review some of your stuff in the future, because you've started off with a good product, and looking forward to it getting even better as you guys get better and better at what you're doing.
Thank you so much, Wayne. Your review was awesome. It really put a smile on our faces to have our first review out, period, and that it was so positive, and it really is encouraging. Thank you, Wayne.
Well, I only seek out people who I really want to talk to and whose stuff I think is worth promoting. So that's why I'm talking to you today and why I enjoyed the book the way I did.
Thank you, Wayne. And thank you for inviting me to this podcast. It was a great opportunity for us as well.
people need dramatic examples to shake them out of apathy, and I can't do that as Bruce Wayne. As a man, I'm flesh and blood. I can be ignored, I can be destroyed, but as a symbol.
Get the latest from the comics universe. News, interviews, previews, and reviews. Listen to the weekly Wayne's Comics Podcast so you can keep reading your comics.
Now at MajorSpoilers.com. And that's a wrap for this episode. Be back next week when I have a fun interview with Howard Shapiro, one of the creators of The Hockey Saint, a book that's a little different than what I'm used to and has a lot of interesting things to say about friendship, among other things. I'm sure you're going to want to listen to what he has to say. But until then, keep reading your comics.